Hello, everyone, and welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. My name is Emily Antcliffe. I will be your host for this special ladies edition of our conversation today. I go to our Silverwater location with my husband, Tyler, and we also oversee the youth for our West locations. Today, I am joined by royalty as I have the privilege of sitting down with none other than Pastor Chris Pringle and Pastor Danielle Pierce. Welcome, ladies.
Woohoo! Ladies' Day. This is good.
Absolutely. Very fun.
So sweet.
In case you need a further introduction, but Pastor Chris is affectionately known as Mama Chris, the founder of C3 Church Global, alongside her husband, Pastor Phil, and they have been ministering together for over 40 years. And Pastor Danielle is the executive director of C3 Global and senior pastor of C3 Powerhouse on the Sunshine Coast with her husband, Pastor John. So really no big deal that we're having this conversation today.
Good.
It's very exciting to have you both here. And we're going to be chatting a little bit around women's ministry, given we are in the lead up to our very own Every Woman Gathering. So Pastor Chris, I thought, let's start with you. You have been hosting our Every Woman Gathering for about 23 years. Is that right?
Yes, I think it is. I think if we just have 2 years that was sort of a bit of a grey area and on Zoom. I think you're right, yeah. Emily. But 20 actual on-site gatherings from all corners of the nation and city. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's so true.
What is it that a gathering of Christian women does in terms of adding value to our faith? Why do we come together as women? And I'd love to hear some of your highlights along the way.
Oh, my goodness. Well, look, you know, people always go to the result of 20 years, but my mind always goes back to the very, very early conception of what we is called now, quote unquote, women's ministry. It really was young mums or single women gathering in a park or in a house and having fun, eating around the table, having fellowship, cuddling each other's kids, and asking the Lord, what could we do? What is our role and purpose to help build the house of God? And that's how, and that was a great beginning. And that's the seed of what I would call in my heart and our world, women's ministry. And so the seed of, in my mind, women's ministry is just incredibly joyous and fun and filled with conversation and encouragement and really endorsing and lifting up one another. So to me, that's when I think of us getting together, that would be one of the pictures that is in my mind quite deeply. Sometimes it was in a more formal setting, but really in the beginning, it was the informality of women gathering together in fellowship and, you know, what do you see? And asking each other, what do you see? And then forming the picture for what we might see in the future that would involve other women. So does that answer the question?
Absolutely. Has there been a particular moment at one of the Everyone gatherings that made you go, this is why we do what we do? What's been a really significant moment that you have witnessed over your time?
I would have to say seeing women who were Christians invite their non-Christian friends into the environment of Every Woman and, of course, into the house of God, and seeing these women led to Christ, I have to say, you know, if I were royalty, that would be the crown of my profession, to see other women come to Christ. Because really, look, that's the seed and the heart of everything that we do, is that women will, within their relationships, and we do relationships quite well, and I think we do them quite well in Jesus, maybe not so, you know, outside, but our commonality being Christ, then we can grow together in character as followers of Jesus. So seeing women on that altar call with arms around them, with people who have brought them, would definitely be one of the supreme moments. Oh, there are lots of fun moments, but at the very heart of every woman was that we would create a place where we could be nourished in Christ as Christian women, and also to be the arms around women who were coming into fellowship and into meeting Jesus.
Yes. Ooh.
I love that that word nourished. It is, that's been my experience of coming to women's gatherings for almost the 20 years that you've been running them, and never coming alone, but always bringing women from our church that we can share it together, and then meeting so many others from other churches and from your church. But just that being together and that developing a relationship year after year, it's so precious, and it does nourish your soul and all through every part of you. It's just, you feel so much richer for that experience. And a highlight for me, I think, would be when Pastor Chris prayed for me when I was pregnant with my youngest child, Gemma, and she, I was only a couple of months pregnant, but she blessed the child in my womb. And it was such a special moment now, 18 years later, to see her as a young woman and, you know, just really flourishing. And it was 18 years or 19 years ago that she prayed over me, prophesied over me as a young church pastor that just did so much in me at the time, but has kept on giving through as I look back at that prophetic word and prayed into it and seen the fruit of it. It's so it's such a memorable moment for me.
Oh, Danielle, that is so wild, because the whole dream, 1 year when we were seeking God for the conference theme, it was, we landed on women dreaming. And that conference kind of birthed, and including in yourself, women's personal dreams. You know, I think women are always giving out. They're always the ones giving out. Do this, do that, are carers of the home, are many a business women, many work in the workforce and raise a family. Yes. And I feel like we wanted to create a space at the conference and the gatherings where women could come and be seen and heard and what their dreams were. Yes. And so your dream, I remember you had a dream, you had two sons, gorgeous boys, and you dreamed for this little girl. And it kind of tied into that vision that we'd seen as around our table of seeking God, that women would write down their dreams, maybe cut out pictures, and we would bring them to the altar of anointing. You remember
Amazing.
That?
Oh, absolutely. It's that permission to dream, that it gives you yes. permission and that freedom that you can tap into those innermost desires, and that's okay. It's celebrated.
Yes, and I think that has been a primary purpose of every woman, to release the dreams within, the gifts within in other women, so that they could then go back and reproduce in the natural and in the spiritual, in their yes. own churches and communities, what the Lord was saying to them, and with their own individual flavor. And look, I've got to say, I've been going through all the pictures. I did come across a picture recently of me holding Gemma at her dedication.
Oh, she's 2 weeks old. At our church, you could dedicate her. That's the most special thing.
I feel like our relationship, Danielle, has been part of the journey of unfolding our own lives and friendship, and obviously we're colleagues as well, but also to be examples of what a woman in ministry can actually spawn out beyond herself. And
yes.
I guess that's always been my dream. I feel like, you know, as we come to the final of every woman gathering as we've known it, I know that the legacy of every woman will live on, because yes. her legacy is in every woman, every
absolutely.
Daughter,
absolutely,
every leader, every volunteer, and they will go forth. It's not like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Well, you know what you're going to do. You know who you are, and go forth and multiply, I say.
Absolutely. It's seeds that have been planted that might not bear fruit, instantly or in a short term, but it's those that long-term fruit that does then come to the fore. And I think those seeds that are planted then, it will go on for generations, Chris. It's just amazing what has been imparted that is not just for people who attended, and that in itself is massive. I know for me it carries me through year after year and beyond, but then down the track and for all those ones that come out of that and are impacted by it.
Yes, exactly. And so I'm excited as to what the future of women's ministry will look like, not only locally, but in our nation and in our C3 churches and in the churches represented, pastors and leaders and daughters, they all come together. And it's going to be exciting to see what God is going to do with the women of the house, because we play a very important role in the life of the church and in the future of the church. So, yes.
Oh, that's incredible. And what a legacy you have set, Pastor Chris. And I know that there will be fruit coming forth and seeing generations come through because of what you have established. So, Pastor Danielle, I'd love to know as well what you have seen, what you feel is a healthy marker of a flourishing women's ministry. What do empowering relationships look like in that context?
Yeah, I think that the flourishing is a key word in that. I just seeing women flourish in whatever area of their life, their season of their life that they're in. So whether it's a full-time mom, whether it's a full-time career woman, whether it's a single woman, a grandma, just being able to recognize that every woman is unique and can flourish in their own way. And so it's not this cookie cutter women's ministry that we want to have that can achieve that, but to individualize it for different women in different seasons and with different giftings. And so seeing women in all of those different areas flourish in their heart and in their soul in the life that God has called them to. And I think that an empowering of that, you can be a woman in the marketplace, you can be a woman in the ministry, you can combine those two things, you can be that full-time mum, and you're so valued, you're so unique in that sense of we want to empower you in that. I think that's what we want to see in women's ministry, is valuing every woman for her giftings and every woman for what she can bring, and speaking into that, and then her then having the confidence to, okay, that's my gifting, that's my calling, I'm unique in that, and I feel good about it. I feel I don't have to compare, I don't have to measure up to a certain expectation, but I can flourish in that gifting and that calling, and that's, I would say, the marker of a really successful women's ministry.
Fantastic. Well, let's talk a little more about this idea of hospitality and coming together around the table. Some of us in Sydney are coming out of lockdown and we're itching to host people back in our homes and put on fancy dinners again. So why is this important for us to do as a community? Why is it important to gather together as women, to host each other around a table, whatever that looks like? What does that bring to our faith?
I would say from the beginning of time, humankind has gathered around the table. Now, whether it's been around a fire in a forest or in a desert with family, or it's in a crude wooden table in a cabin or in a beautiful apartment or a sprawling house, to come around the table where we, it's the meeting place. And It not only that, but it's very scriptural. In fact, around the table is where Jesus was intimate with his family, his followers, his chosen men and women. He was intimate with them. And sharing, there's something about sharing food where you break bread and you pass it across the table. Oh, try this. Oh, have some dip. Oh, here, have some potato, have some ham or whatever. There's something very intimate, and it draws you together. Around the table opens conversation. It doesn't have to be forced. I think it's a very natural place where we open up our lives and our hearts, and where we share each other's love for food and fellowship. And I think it's the very heart of the family. And if we begin there, then we should not lose. I think we are coming back, and perhaps in this period of lockdown, we've come back to the heart of the table, which is the family. It doesn't have to be biological family. It can be people who are kids in a flat, single people who flat together, families, grandparents. There's something very important about the table. I feel that we're coming back to the heart of the table, and rightly so. That, and that's why even you said, oh my God, we can't wait to have people where around the table, where we're sharing food, where we've prepared a roast or a Thai stir fry, I don't know, and you serve. So you're serving each other. There's something very Christian about serving and loving one another. I think it's the heart of koinonia. It's the fellowship. It's true communion. It wasn't just the bread and wine. True communion is where we gather together and share food in our hearts, and we touch each other, and you give a hug to that friend. So I think it is the very heart of Christianity and also humanity.
Beautiful. I love it. I love having people over to my home. I love going to people's homes and eating with them. I love having new people that I've barely met over, or my neighbours, or having that small intimate gathering, or that big lots of people over, that potluck dinner where it's just, yeah, it is so relationship building. I think in this, when you're talking about doing life together, that's where you really experience it, because you know, you're less hurried when you're in a home around a table. It just seems that you can, it's more authentic. You can see the authenticity of the host and their home and how they manage. And then you're just sitting down in that unhurried sort of environment where you're just sharing life together. I think that's where we talk about having your village. Who is your village? Who's your tribe? It's the people that you're inviting into your home and you're doing life, and uncles and aunties for your kids, or grandparents that, like you say, aren't blood relatives, but they become family because it's, you're in our home. We do life together. We celebrate together. We cry together, but we're around that table where it's really relationship building. You have that connection, and maybe you can pray for each other, or you're just able to, I don't know, relax and let it all hang out more than you can in an official cafe or restaurant. Not that it means you can't gather around that table as well, but yeah, there's something special about just whatever your home looks like. And even if you think it's not up to speed, or you know, wish I could have a bigger dining table or better chairs, or you know, offer better quality food, it's just the being together that is actually the most important thing. And so it's not like I need to offer the high quality 5-star restaurant experience. It's just, for me, burgers, sausages on the barbecue, something that's really quick and easy, that it's not all day preparing, but just, hey, come over and let's just hang out together. So it's really lowering your expectations of perfection and idealism that you might want to really impress there, but it's just, it's bringing it back, stripping it back to let's just hang out over a cheese platter for afternoon tea. And that's where the authenticity comes in. If this is who we are, we just kick back over a drink and cheese and bickies, and that is so special.
That is it. I totally agree. 100%, Danielle. I guess we've all been probably wrongly influenced by magazines and media on the showcase home. And it's very few can meet that standard. And I think what you've said just then, Danielle, is so, so important, and it will encourage young people. Oh, yeah, I could do that. And look, you can get 2 deck chairs on a sunny day and have a meat pie with, more than 5 friends in New South Wales now. But, you can sit under a tree and and just fellowship and invite. That's a great place to invite new people if you're feeling just a little not confident. Yeah. Look, in COVID, like we could only, have, I think it was a gather five. So we could have a family of five in the park. And what we did a few times was we met just one couple outside. We brought four deck chairs, Phil and I, and get the cafe food, and we just sat and just ask them about their life and what they're doing and how they've been coping. And something happens in that moment because we couldn't have them in our house. We can now.
Right.
But something happens. Kindness and warmth are the qualities that I think are going to be very important in the future to people, to feel the connection with Christ. Those kindness and the warmth of acceptance is very much the heart of Christianity, and people are just needing to be seen and loved and accepted. And beautiful. around the table or on a rug in the park or walking along the beach is where people find that connection. And I totally agree with you, Danielle. Don't try and make it bigger than Ben-Hur. If you want to do that, go to a restaurant. Let somebody serve you and go like this, off, 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 you know, as they put down the hors d'oeuvres or whatever. But hey,
the amount of times that we picked up a barbecue chicken on the way home from church and just, you know, thrown a salad together, it's just very quick, very easy, very cheap, but it goes a long way.
That's right. It's just the warmth of hospitality. In fact, one of the greatest pictures in the Bible, I don't really want to give a Bible study, and I'm not, but is in Acts 28, where after they'd been shipwrecked, Paul was on that ship, and they were shipwrecked. Nobody died. They came on shore, and it says the natives met us with great, extraordinary kindness and welcomed us around the fire because it was cold. And pretty much
that
is what we are to people coming in out from the cold. They've been through lots of storms, shipwreck, almost lost their lives. Many have. And they just need the welcome. Welcome. Come in. Come around our fire.
That's great.
And that's the beauty of in a house or in the house of God. Come in. We've created this space where you can feel loved and safe. And I love that. And, of course, history says that after that happened, and then Paul, you know, the snake thing went on his hand and then he shook it off and he didn't die. And then he was taken to the governor's house whose father or someone was sick, and Paul laid his hands on them and got healed. It says a great revival broke out.
Yeah.
But it began with them being welcomed and warmed by complete strangers around a fire. I love that.
That's a great application of that scripture.
I mean, what things can we do as women to create that welcome and that warmth around a fire? That was on a beach. That wasn't posh. That wasn't in a resort. That was just around a fire on a beach in Malta. So after, you know, a big earthquake and after a big, you know, windstorm. And anyway, so, come on, girls.
It's a good challenge for us.
Let's be that warm. Yeah.
And coming into Every Woman, we're going to be watching online. So this is the perfect opportunity for you to grab your girlfriends, grab the barbecue chicken and the camping chairs, whatever it takes, open up your home.
Cheese platter.
And the cheese platter. Together.
Yes, the cheese platter and the dips.
That's right. Better together.
Yes, it's the heart of the invitation. And I think it's important for us to ask ourselves as well, in that nature of invitation, thinking of people outside our normal group or our normal world and actually inviting new people in. And I don't know about you, but I can be a little bit shy meeting someone for the first time. I can go into my introvert self in a new environment. So my question for both of you is, how do we be bold in our invitation to new people? Maybe it's the neighbor who you always wave to, but you've never had a conversation with. Maybe it's the barista who gives you your coffee every day. How do we actually extend our invitation connection to the women around us to come to events like this, to come to church and actually be bold in that ask.
You go, Danielle.
Great. Oh, look, I think that you show yourself friendly. That's that proverb that says a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And it's just being friendly to the people that you're in contact with. And if it is your hairdresser, or it's asking questions. It's that that art of asking questions and really listening and follow-up questions and showing interest in people's lives, that it's not like, oh, I'm doing this for a purpose, or it's just that you're showing yourself friendly, you're being encouraging, you're looking at ways of how that you can encourage people. And then it's that being inclusive. I think that some of us are naturally inclusive by nature, other of us are exclusive by nature. And there's certain pros of both of those things, but some of us have to really work at being intentional with inclusivity and just thinking, okay, who can I ask outside of my circle of comfortableness, so I can invite certain friends over or to do things together with, but really I need to be intentional about widening that circle for their sake, as much as it helps me break out of that shyness or lack of confidence, or just into a bigger space. So yeah, that can really, if you're intentional about how can I be inclusive, who's the one that I can ask to every woman or to over for dinner or to do something together with, rather than just go with the, okay, this is my secure group that I is just my safe space that I feel comfortable with. I need to break out of that and be intentional about it and going for it, tapping into bold.
I love that, Danielle. You put it in a nutshell, because most girls are in a small community. They've got a little connect group. They've been on Zoom, but now they can meet physically. With, I think, the seed to invite a new person or two would be to come into that group first. Don't wait until the night before she leads, or every woman, but start now. And you might have to, if they don't want to leave their house because they might be ill or they're a bit conscious of meeting new people that they don't know, show them how to actually get onto Zoom, and maybe they could watch it with some of their friends who are not yet acquainted with church. Because right now, here, not where you are, Danielle, we're not gathered yet. It'll be bit by bit, but it won't be before the Every Woman Zoom. So I absolutely agree with Danielle's comment on there are people that you already know. They know who you are. I certainly know in my world, there's one woman in particular who contacted me throughout COVID. And then the other day I was walking around the lake with Julie French, and she was sitting there having morning tea or something with her grandson. And she saw me, Chris. And she didn't know Julie. And she went, oh, aren't you the lucky one to have a friend like her? She's been and then what she did was she made me look good. She went, oh, she's helped me. We've met during COVID in my car, and she's been in her car, and we rolled down the window and she checked how I was, blah, blah. And so she, she's this close, and she's a gorgeous woman.
Beautiful.
So the person that you're already, they're hot already. They love you. They know you. They respect you. Don't just stop some Joe Blow on the street. Go for someone that you're already, they kind of, you have a warmth towards already. Fillaway says, I used to think, go for the real hard nut. Go for the real hard nut. Go for that antagonistic person. He's like, what a twit. Go for the one that is ready and asking and hungry. Invite that person into your world and just start small. Have a coffee. Go for a walk together. Just normalize evangelism. None of this handing out a tract or, normalize evangelism. And I do think that women's ministry, I hate that word actually, because it sounds like a woman behind a pulpit who's got special, special gifts. I'd like to blow that image up. And I think lockdown has helped us do that, because nobody's been able to stand really on an actual auditorium in a great big, you know, thing, you know, look at me. And women's ministry now is, you are a woman in ministry, whoever you are listening today.
Right.
You are anointed with the love of Christ. Therefore, you are ordained. You are qualified. Yes. With Christ in you is your qualification. And so go out and be the hands and feet, the lips of Jesus. That is a true woman in ministry. The women who supported Jesus in his ministry were women that just went out, what needs to be done, you know?
Mm.
They supported him financially. They probably, you know, I made sure that he was warm and kept safe in a dwelling where he was sleeping. I think that let's normalize evangelism and women's ministry by just seeing what's in our hand and then give that. Give that, girls. That's
You're the best example of that, because you have the biggest heart, Pastor Chris, and you're very inclusive by nature, but you're always reaching out. You're always loving on people, whether you know them or not. You're the big hug, and you're just always embracing and bringing people into your world and into church and into your life. And for as long as I've known you, you've been a very inclusive person, and you're an inspiration for us in that.
Well, Danielle, I love you, and you are a wonderful, wonderful part of my life and of every woman. And now there's, you know, we have your beautiful daughter who's now not a child, but she's like a young woman in ministry now.
Yes.
And I want to just extend the invitation to every woman out there listening to this podcast and beyond, that you are welcome to come into the room of every woman this October, and let's fill the houses and flats with joy. Have your little cheese platters, and let's worship Jesus together and fellowship together. Yes. And celebrate us as every woman, as we have been, all that we have achieved together, and look to the future, because it's going to be amazing.
Absolutely. Oh, it has been such a pleasure to chat with you both today. And thank you for joining us, Pastor Chris and Pastor Danielle. And we thank you and honor you for all you are doing for women in ministry. It is so empowering and championing. And we're so excited to see what the future holds as well. And I'd love to encourage you, if you're a lady out there listening and you haven't yet registered to be with us for our Every Woman Gathering, we want you to be there. So bring your girlfriends, bring your mom, bring your neighbor. Registration is free. And this is the last Every Woman Gathering as we know it, so we don't want you to miss out. You can go to the website to register, which is everyonegathering.com. We'll be live online on October 28th for She Leads and 29th for The Gathering, as well as Every Girl and Every Woman Youth. And I've even heard that the little ones and every girl are getting a goodie bag sent to them in the mail. So you definitely don't want to miss out on registering for that. If you'd like to connect with us at C3SYD, you can always reach out on our Instagram, which is at C3.SYD. We hope you have an amazing day, and we look forward to seeing you very soon at our Every Woman Gathering.
Awesome. And can I just say a big thank you to Pastor Chris for leading us for over 20 years in Every Woman, and being such, doing all the hard yards behind the scenes and up front, and leading a team of people that have put on the C3 Every Woman Gatherings that have made a huge difference in the lives of my life and women in my church and around the globe. We just honor you and thank you, Pastor Chris, for all that you have done and imparted to us. We love you.
Thank you, Danielle.